welcome to Central Study Hour. We're so glad to have you here at Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope you've started your Sabbath with many blessings. And we are going to continue our study of growing in our relationship with God. So we invite you to stay tuned in for our study this morning. But before we go into our study, we're going to sing a couple of hymns. We're going to start with hymn number 608, Faith is the Victory. We're going to sing all verses, so we invite you to join us and sing this wonderful hymn. Joining us in that song. And we want to remind you that you can share your favorite hymn with us by going to saccentral.org, and in the contact us section, select CSH hymn request. And there you can share your name, where you're writing us from, and the hymn that you would like us to sing in an upcoming Sabbath. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 523, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. We'll sing all verses too.
My faith has found a resting place, not in a man-made creed. I trust the ever-living one that he for me will plead. I need no other evidence. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. Enough for me that Jesus saved. This ends my fear and doubt. And sinful soul, I come to him. He will not cast me out. I need no other evidence, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose. soul is resting on the Word, the living Word of God. Salvation in my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other evidence, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The great physician heals the sick, the Lord He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other evidence, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me.
It's beautiful to know that we can trust Jesus, that we can have faith, though we don't see. We know Him, and we know that He will do everything for us, even grant us salvation. So before we go into our study, we're going to have a word of prayer. We invite you to please bow your heads and join us as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You because through faith, Lord, we can know that You are a living God. And we ask that You are present during our study this morning, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit may work in us, and that the angels can be here. And wherever people are watching around the world, Lord, please be with us. Bless us this morning. We thank You this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we'll give the time to Dr. Jim Tayeg. He will bring the lesson this morning, titled Having Faith. It's lesson number 8. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. How's everybody?
Blessed.
Okay, thank you very much. We love to hear that, right? Because if we have God in our lives, we are always blessed. Okay? Before we study our lesson, we have an offer as usual, any copy of this particular presentation today. If you want a copy of that in either in CD or in DVD, we offer you the offer number C202621. You can have that if you call us at 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org. Once again, that's 916-457-6511 and email csh@saccentral.org. That's offer number C202621. Before we start, shall we have a word of prayer? Our kind Heavenly Father, we need You today, O Lord. We need Your Holy Spirit. We need You to make what we will be listening to a part of our lives, especially as we experience You every day. It is important for our growth, O Lord, in our relationship with You. Please capture my mind, my heart, my whole being, and not only me, O Lord, but all Your listeners from here and wherever they are listening or watching, O Lord, I trust that You will take care of us and give us the measure of faith that we may trust You all along. In Jesus' name, amen. Our lesson for today, once again, it's lesson 8, and it's part of the lesson quarterly that's entitled Growing in a Relationship with Our God. And it is very important. It's a topic that's actually very common. And I find that it's not really highly theological, not highly philosophical. And I wish, actually, it's my wish. When I was reading our study, I said, I wish it's a discussion instead of me just presenting it. Why? Because the whole thing from Sunday to Thursday or even Friday, it's all practical things. In fact, it touches many things about you. I mean, you and many of the questions are only you actually can answer. It's not, there's nothing right or wrong on that one, nothing, but although it's all should be based on the Bible, right? And the title for today is what? Having faith. Having faith. How many among you haven't really studied that word faith? All of us basically have heard a lot of things, a lot of sermons about it and a study about it. And you have been reading about it even at home in your devotionals, right? So why even study it now, again? Well, it's always good to check whether our faith or the faith that you and I have is really founded in the Word of God. And that's why I believe this is what we our lesson wants us to know, especially as it relates in our relationship with God. Our memory verse, again, is, again, I want to emphasize, it's a memory verse, and I hope that you all memorize it. In fact, it's a memory verse. It's a text that is so familiar, and you probably can recite it from the King James Version and more than any other version, but somehow our lesson picked it up from New Living Translation. And it says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. And how difficult is that to understand, right? And then it says, it's Hebrews 11:1 again. It says, it shows the reality of what we hope for. What do we hope for? Oh, you and I have so many hopes, right? And all those hopes, sometimes they can frustrate us because we hope and it doesn't happen. But there's a hope that you and I can bank on it, that it will definitely happen. And faith is your evidence. Actually, King James Version uses that. And is your essence, or is the substance of things that we hope for. And that hope is what? The blessed hope. In fact, it's embedded in our own name. Seventh day, what? Adventist. We probably are so familiar with the word seventh day, but Adventist? Do we still long for that hope? We always hear only that hope, about that hope, whenever somebody passes away. We'll see you in that blessed hope. But during almost any day, we forget all about it. And hardly, in fact, sometimes I hardly could hear sermons about that blessed hope nowadays. During the time of our pioneers, that was the main thing. Right? Miller, preach about it. Why? Because they thought that that was the date that Jesus will come again. See, Hebrews 11:1 tells us it shows the reality of what we hope for. I like the word it shows, I like the original actually. Faith is the reality. Faith is the substance. Faith is the essence of what we all hope for. And then it says, there's another second component on that particular verse. It says, it is the evidence of things, what? Not seen. It's so interesting. Actually, you look at those two particular components of this particular verse, you will find that it's actually, they are insinuating about our future and the things that are present or even in the past that we don't see. And what's the main thing that actually we don't see, and yet you and I believe and trust that it's true? What is it? The existence of a God, right? We don't see him. But why do you believe that he is there? And the existence of a God who created the whole world, he is the one who did all these things. And why do you believe that? Because of faith. Faith is all the evidence I need. And that's why I like the song that our singers just says. It's, I need no other evidence. I need no other plea. It is enough. Because faith is the evidence of things not seen. Okay, I have expounded so much on Hebrews 11, verse 1. I really like to expound the word of God. But I wish the lesson focused more on expanding a whole chapter of chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is a very famous chapter. It's the chapter of faith. But somehow it was only dealt with in on Wednesday of our lesson. And on Wednesday of our lesson, actually, it doesn't really expound it. It's asking questions about you. So you probably won't even touch that much today because it's all practical. And most of the questions there are yours and mine to personally answer, right? So anyway, our lesson begins with comparing faith into a Wi-Fi. Did you notice that? It says, you don't see it, but somehow it is something that's necessary for you to connect to something that you need, right? And everything, although you don't see it, there's no cord, it's wireless, right? It doesn't fly in the air, you don't see it flying in the air, but you can connect to anything worldwide. Wi-Fi, they said. It's a pretty good illustration somehow, but being a computer geek as well, I like to think of it more of a faith as the operating system. How many among you are familiar with operating systems in computers? Yes. Without the operating system, no matter how beautiful the hardware is, it won't function. And no matter what application you put into it, without the operating system, you won't what? It won't work. It has a foundation application software. So I like to do it that way. I mean, I like to compare it that way. Why? Because faith is the basis of the foundations of our relationship with God. In fact, I should say it's the basis or it's the foundation of any kind of relationship. Why? And you will see why. Because faith actually is more than just an operating system. And it's not even the belief system that you and I believe in, like the 28 fundamental doctrines. Oftentimes we are asked about, hey, Mark, what is your faith? What faith do you belong to? They're not referring to the faith that we will be talking about, right? They're referring to a belief system of what you hold on to, right? A Seventh-day Adventist faith, a Catholic faith, a Baptist faith, a Lutheran faith, or whatever, Baha'i faith, or Islam faith, or whatever faith, right? That's what they would refer to whenever we say faith. So faith is more than just a belief system. It's more than just the operating system there. In fact, it's not even part of you. If you probably have been paying attention to many expositors about what faith is all about, the real simple definition of faith is one word. Can you guess? Trust. That's all. Trust. It is foundational in any relationship. You will not love somebody unless you trust them. Right? I would not even ask Brother Mike. My Brother Mike has been working with Adoration, our group. I would not even call him if I don't trust him. And why do I trust him? Just because he is a Seventh-day Adventist just like me? No, not necessarily. Because I have seen him do what he is good in doing. Right? And that's why I say, that's why faith is trusting God. The spiritual faith that we're talking is really trusting God. That's all the best definition of what faith is all about. So wherever you see the word faith in Scripture, which is, I mean, coming from the same Greek word, by the way, pistis. Pistis is a Greek word for it. It is either translated as believe, faith, or trust. Sometimes it says commit. Some kind of a commitment. Right? Believe sometimes in Greek, in the English word is it's kind of, sometimes it's shallow. They say, I believe you, but you don't necessarily trust, right? You have heard about the story, and there are several stories that I have heard. I mean, different kinds of versions of someone who was a wheelbarrow miracle maker who crosses a rope through the Niagara Falls, crossing the two coasts of the Niagara Falls. And then he says, and people know that he was a magician, and they marvel at his miracles, and then they wanted to watch that if he wouldn't fall, pushing the wheelbarrow. So he asked everybody, how many among you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow through? And a story says that everybody raised their hand, and I said, would you like to put yourself in the wheelbarrow as I push it? Not a single one wanted to. You see, you can believe, you can say you believe, but you don't have to trust. Same thing with our relationship with God. You can say you believe in God, you believe in everything that he says, you believe in every promise that he says, but then, if you don't put yourself in him, in his holding, what kind of belief is that? What kind of trust is that? Right? What kind of faith is that, right? So faith is trusting God. And by the way, it's not part of us. It's not part of your being. It is a gift from God. And by the way, since it is a gift of God, it is not yours. You don't produce it. You don't try to manufacture it. You don't try to coerce yourself to trust God. It just happens to you when you have an experience with God, right? Like when I first met my wife, I did not necessarily right away trust her, right? But since I became more familiar with her, then I began, I have faith, that I got so interested. That faith becomes natural. In psychology, actually, it's interesting that it defines faith as a natural phenomenon that arises from experiences depending on your need or your tendencies. Oh, yeah, that's kind of, okay, faith, that's it. Forget. If you need something and then it somehow you experience that need is satisfied, then you have faith. So still, it's based on those things. But in the biblical sense of faith, it's not even that. It's a spiritual phenomenon, I would say. Right? It is a gift of God. How is that gift? Okay. Someone will say, well, I have no faith. Well, I will touch that later on. But anyway, I'll say, do you know of anybody who has not given a faith? Faith? Not a single one. Not even those who is not in your belief system or faith. Even atheists, they are given, God has dealt every, what? Man, a measure of faith. Romans 12, verse 3. So nobody can say, you have no faith at all, so I have no faith. I'll go into that one more deeply later. And Ephesians 2, verse 8 tells us, by grace are you saved through faith. So in fact, it is the basis of our salvation. Right? Well, not really. It's grace that actually saves us. God's grace. And it is that grace that actually stimulates the existence of faith in your heart. Because you have experienced that grace, then, wow, it's a response. It's a natural response for the fact that God has given you and I grace that you and I do not deserve. Right? If I see a stranger, I meet a stranger today, and he has become good to me, wow, that grace will stimulate in me a what? A response of, okay, but first I would probably doubt, okay, what does he need of me from me, right? Why will I be skeptical? Because I don't know him, and because he's a human being. But with God, the first thing that you really need to know and to have is you need to know him. Yeah. Otherwise, you cannot trust him. You cannot have faith in him, right? And yet, even if you don't know him, God has dealt every one of you a faith. So, where do you put that question of Jesus Christ that says, where's your faith? How is it that you have lack faith? Well, I thought he had faith. Everybody has faith. And then come he asks questions, where is your faith? What he actually says there is that, yes, you have it, but you are not taking advantage of it. Right? Like the disciples during the time of Jesus Christ during the storm, right? We will go into that more deeply. Okay. Even in any relationship, a relationship can be destroyed by doubts and unbeliefs, right? When you start doubting your spouse or your dad or your mom or your sister or your brother or anybody else that you are related with, that can really, really ruin the relationship. But of course, our lesson will touch later on that doubt sometimes creeps in even in our relationship with God. And God understands. And we will see how he understands. But if that doubt gets to the extent that you start distrusting that person you are related with, then that's where the trouble is. Sometimes I doubt my wife, okay. But it is what I do with that doubt and unbelief, and if I allow it to bring me into distrusting my wife, that is sure a danger, right? Same thing with God. Faith is the same. If you start entertaining doubts and unbelief, and then it leads you to distrusting God, you are in trouble. Okay, that's a lot of introduction, right? We'll go through Sunday's lesson, and I would like to focus really on this one, because this is one thing that all of us oftentimes are guilty of. The title of Sunday's lesson is, Just Give Me a Sign. Well, isn't it true that whenever something is unbelievable, something that is, why should I put my trust in that one? You want a sign, right? Because we are natural people who wants to see is to what? Believe. We want to see things first before we believe. Or before we even trust. We want to see evidence, tangible evidence. Okay, you're telling me you can do that? Show me first. Yeah. Right? Now, let me suggest to you that kind of attitude is perfect if it is applied only on the human level, like in science. You know, we went through this COVID pandemic. And all the experts tell us, this is what is good, this is what's good, you know. You have to take this and you have to take it. And people do not even ask questions. They somehow, boom, they trust them to their detriment. See, science is different because science is not so much on whether they are, it is trustworthy or not. Science is the discovery of things that is true. It's the process of discovering what is true. So you don't necessarily always believe in science because science is based on human knowledge, right? But when it comes to God, anything that God says, anything that God promises, do you really need signs to believe? Oh, yes, of course, your friends who don't believe in God will say, of course I want to know. I want to see. Why doesn't he even show us? If he is really there, do something. Right? This is exactly the pitfalls of what's all throughout the scripture. All throughout the scripture where you see people who are faithless. Herod, remember Herod? When Jesus was brought before him. He said, oh, I've been hearing a lot about you, but you know, I'm curious. And people believe somehow they follow you. Man, to me, if I were Herod, I would say, well, how come there's a lot of evidence already that this man must be trustworthy. He has healed the sick, cleansed lepers, and all these things. But what did he say? Okay, are you really? Show me a miracle. Did Jesus Christ? Right? Miracle? Not really, no, right? Why? Because there's no need for signs. But somehow, as human beings, as I said, to see is to believe, we operate on that particular adage. Especially when things are too good to be true that are offered, we tend to that. Okay, too good to be true, let me see a sign. Or when you are in trouble, for example, and you call upon God and says, Lord, are you even there? And then he doesn't even seem to be close to help. Then you, what happens? Doubt. So you want to see, oh Lord, if you don't do this for me, then I will not believe. I'll not trust you. You want a sign, right? That's what actually but if we look back, the way to experience faith really. In order to grow a relationship with God, the way to exercise faith is to experience God intentionally. By being on the lookout always for every blessing and for every good thing that God does in your life and for everything that you receive or experience every day. But if you don't, your faith will never grow. Like, for example, you wake up in the morning, okay, Lord, God blesses you. You ignore it. He woke you up, right? That's one basis. And then he blessed you. And all the blessings. And that's why I don't hear that song anymore. It says, count your blessing, name them one by one, you know? And look back in your life. Where you had so much trouble, and then God acted. If you recall those things, you will experience that your faith will grow. And recall and refresh the things that God has been doing to you. And I would suggest beyond that you write them in a journal. Although I don't write them. I wish I would always write because I have a lot of things to do. But I used to write them in a journal. Because I know I'm forgetful. When I was a little kid, I was so forgetful. My mom was saying, I feel sorry for you, your wife-to-be, because, you know, everything you forget. But when you write it, there were times when I would write, and then one time I picked up a journal that I had been in high school, and I look over, I said, wow, God did those things to me? Wow, God did those things to me. And every time I see those things, I say, Lord, what is my reason I cannot trust you? And that's why I suggest you write them in journals. And by the way, this is exactly what God instructed ancient Israel through Moses in Deuteronomy, right? He says in Deuteronomy 4, 7 to 10, "For what great nation is there that God has so near to it as the Lord our God is to us? For whatever reason we may call upon him, and what great nation is there that has such statute and righteous judgments as are in all this law?" But on verse 9 says, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life." So one way to experience and increase your faith and grow your relationship with God is what? Don't forget the things that your eyes have seen. Because God knows that we always want to cease to believe. Okay? But even if you don't see tangible things, the experience you got should actually be enough evidence that God is working in your life. So let it not, and then Moses continued to say, "And teach them to your children and your grandchildren." Wow. Let me ask you questions. Any among you here that anything that you experience, some of you who don't have children probably cannot identify. But for those who have children, when God blesses you, when God does something to you, so miraculous sometimes, do you tell them to your children, "Wow, this is what God did to me"? See, that's why personal testimonies are powerful. Unfortunately, many of our personal testimonies are here is all about personal, their own person, not about God. It should be a testimony of Jesus, testimony of God, of what God has done for you. And if God has done to him, pass it on. Because the more you repeat it, the more it increases your faith. And that's what Moses told his people. But unfortunately, even if he said, God has done a lot of miraculous things in the life of Israel, right? All of us have read those stories. From Egypt, the 7 plagues, the firstborn, the salvation of the firstborn, crossing the Red Sea, pillars of fire by day, clouds by night, or fire by night, and clouds by day, right? And all those miracles that God, think about it, and yet they were, those were not enough signs of faith in that God really is trustworthy. Because there is a tendency we have short-term memory of our experiences. We have short-term memory. God bless us a while ago. Just a few minutes ago, and then suddenly you will doubt him here on this side. Yeah. Right? Am I the only one experiencing that? All of us often swing on this one, a height of faith, and then boom, you are here, right? And we, when we based our faith on those kinds of ups and down experiences, your faith will be shaky. But if you only look at Jesus and God and every day and what he does for you every day, oh boy, that's kind of difficult when something bad happens to you, right? Like, for example, when I first fell from an 8-foot-tall ladder, I fell and it was so painful. And I said, "Oh, Lord, what is this? Are you now?" I thought I was dying. Seriously. thank God I didn't doubt, because I have inculcated in my mind, if I ever die, I should not really fear death anymore, because after that, I will see him face to face. But for so many people, this week, one of my friends, won't mention name, texted me and said, I was scammed. It's so disgusting. And what do you mean, why you scammed? All my savings was gone, and I called the bank. And the bank, they said they can't do anything. All my savings in the bank, cash, taken. I want to go into how he explained how it happened. Man, and I said to myself, Lord, if that happened to me, will I still have faith in you? And this is a friend who just got newly baptized. What a challenge. Will I still trust God? Why did God allow this? Okay. We can actually cite so many examples of a challenge to our faith that it will actually put doubts in our mind and start distrusting God. But I suggest don't even entertain it, because you know, oftentimes those things are for our sanctification. And I have to remind myself, everything that happens to me, that's not really pleasing. And I say, oh, Lord, okay, it's for my sanctification. Thank you, Lord. The thing is, we need to recall and refresh everything that God has done in the past and even in our present. Ellen White even tells us in a famous quotation in Life Sketches, page 196. She says, we have nothing to fear for the future except as we what? Forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in the past. That is why it is very important, if you really want to grow your faith and your relationship with God, you really need to refresh how God has led you in the past. And when you keep that in focus in your mind, nothing can disturb your trust in God. Nothing can disturb your faith in God, and your faith in God will be stronger and stronger and stronger every day. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 7 to 10. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. That's not Deuteronomy. I don't know why I put it in John. I think it's in John. John chapter 2, verse 30 and 37. He says, but these are written that you may what? Believe. Let me substitute the word faith. But these are written that you may have faith. Better still, let me substitute it with the word trust. But these are written that you may trust that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. See, experiencing God must be intentional. Be on the lookout for everything that he does for you, all the blessings that we receive and experience every day. Look back, recall and refresh, write them down if possible, and read them. But if you haven't written down, at least read the Word of God. Why? Because all the things that has written here are for you and for me to strengthen your faith. And that's why if you don't read the Word of God, my friends, how will you even grow your faith? How will you even exercise your faith? Because we can only have faith if we refresh our minds with all the promises of God. When he says, "Lo, I'm with you always," he meant it. You can bank on it. Because he said it, and God said it, I believe it, I trust it, And that settles it, what? For me. Yes, read it. Read the scripture. You see, signs and miracles are not reliable in a trust-based relationship. I cannot always tell my wife and say, okay, to continue for me trusting you, my wife, you know, you have to show signs. Or you perform miracles for me. Man, my wife would probably slap me and say, all the more, what are you talking about, right? See, signs and miracles should not be the basis of your trusting God. Although God may do them for you to increase your faith, but they are not necessarily to have for you to have faith. All you have to do is really exercise that faith that He has given you. He has given you already. Exercise it. Use it. Unfortunately, you know, gifts. There are many times, especially during Christmas, I am given some gift by my either my nephews, my sister-in-laws, my wife, and everybody else, you know. And when I look at it, well, that's nice. Thank you. And oftentimes, I see them all lying around. I am not using them. And then it happens, I say, oh, wait a minute. I need that. And I could not find it. So what I do? Amazon, order it. And then after ordering, I find it. You see, you may be given a gift if you don't take advantage of it. It has no use. Same thing with faith. God has given each one of us a measure of faith. But if you don't take advantage of it, that's why Jesus will say, where is your faith? He's not telling you you don't have faith. He's asking you, where is it? Where did you put it? Where did you keep it? Why are you not taking advantage of it? That's actually what Jesus meant. Oh, Moses. I know I'm focusing on this one because most of the other topics are very practical. But I want focusing on signs because this is where we always fall. Because Moses and the children of Israel have all the signs and still doubted the leading of God. Right? And we look back and say, how foolish they are. Now looking upon ourselves, we often do the same thing. Don't we? We're guilty of the same thing oftentimes. Why? Because we forget what God does for us. And that's why when the Pharisees was asking in order for them to trust or believe that what Jesus Christ was saying, they said, show us the faith. That's in Mark 8, 11 to 12. You can look at that at your home. It says, and then what did Jesus Christ say? I will not give a sign, this sign, or what? Except the sign of what? Jonah. And what was he referring to? That was, of course, in Matthew. In Mark, of course, Mark didn't mention about Jonah. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 39, he says this is a sign of Jonah. And what's the sign of Jonah? It was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, and then he basically rise up. He was referring to his death, correct? And if you refresh your mind on that, what he did on those 3 days from Friday to Sunday morning resurrection, my friends, that's the best evidence to have faith. That's why that song, I really love that song. I need no other evidence. I need no other. It is enough that Jesus, what? Died. For me, oh wow. And what's so interesting on that particular verse, Matthew 9, 8. And after all that God has done for you, after all what Jesus has done, all those miracles and these Pharisees were still asking for signs. You know how Jesus reacted? The Bible specifically says, Jesus sighed deeply. In his spirit. Now, every time I think about that text, and I've asked God for a sign, Lord, is this where I should go? God, please show me a sign in order to believe that this is what you really want me to do. And I can imagine Jesus say, why do you ask for more signs? What else have I done? What can I? And all those things that I have done, aren't those enough? Would you allow God, Jesus, to have that feeling and reaction when you do that? Signs? Okay. I know I've dealt so much on that. Ellen White has an interesting, it's actually in your lesson, Desire of Ages, page 406. These signs were not what the Jews needed. No mere external evidence could benefit them. What they needed was not intellectual enlightenment, but a spiritual renovation. Oh, I like that. Perhaps we need some spiritual renovation in order to really experience faith growing in our relationship with God, right? Okay, Monday's lesson, Jesus sees our faith. As I told you, these are very, very practical. So, John chapter 2, verse 23 and 20 to 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. How many believe when they saw the signs? Now, look, this is a belief based on what? Signs. Look at what the next verse says. But Jesus, what? Did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. And verse 25, he says, and he had no need that anyone should testify of men, for he knew what was in men. Jesus reads your heart, my friend. He did not commit. The word commit, by the way, is from the same Greek word as trust. He did not entrust himself to them, even though they believed, because their belief was what? Based on what? The signs. Because without signs, that kind of belief will just go down the drain. Right? Now, just be careful when you try to believe only. On that particular lesson, we are asked to compare the two instances of belief. For example, when the disciples were there in the boat during a storm and Jesus was sleeping, what happened? Don't you care that we perish? And what did Jesus Christ say? Where's your faith? Right? Compare that to the lady who came to Jesus, a Syrophoenician woman, who's begging for her daughter's healing. Demon possessed. Okay. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 28, what did Jesus say? Well, Jesus said, well, it's not good to give bread to dogs. Was Jesus actually treating her like a dog? No, necessarily. Well, we have no time to exegete that one because that's not our focus anyway. But then the lady said, the Syrophoenician said, but Lord, even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And what did Jesus say? Great is your faith. Amen. Let it be so to you as you desire. Wow! Compare that to where's your faith. These are 12 disciples who have been with Jesus, seeing all the miracles, everything that he has been doing, and yet when the time comes, they were on the testing stage, they lost faith. They forgot that Jesus was there. In the midst of the storm, Jesus was peaceful, and they were all stressful. What a big difference, right? But on this one, great is your faith, he said. Okay. Well, how is it that you have no faith? And then the centurion. Remember the centurion who went to Jesus? These are examples of faith, right? What did Jesus say? I have not found such great faith, not even in what? Israel. Sometimes we think that those who are not in the faith are more faithful. They have more faith than those who are in the faith, quote unquote, right? He was not a Jew. He was not he was not going to the synagogues. But somehow Jesus commended him. He says, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Will he find faith even in this particular sanctuary? Will he? Okay. See, it was an unbeliever who believes. And what is so good about God is that even when we have those doubts, even when we have those unbelief, he is so gracious that he will help you because he knows, especially if you recognize that even if you have doubt, you have an unbelief, and you ask God to help you, he definitely will help you.
Amen.
Why? And that is why he is worthy to be trusted. He is worthy. You have faith, okay? See, Ellen White tells us in Faith and Works, page 17, the unbelief which is cherished in the soul has a bewitching power, okay? The seeds of doubt that they have been sowing will produce their harvest, but they must continue to dig up every root of unbelief. When these poisonous plants are pulled, they cease to grow for want of nourishment in word and action. The soul must have precious plants of faith and love put in the soil of the heart and enthroned there. Brothers and sisters, I challenge you to keep the faith of Jesus that he has given you.
Amen.
Don't even question how big it is. Hold on to it. Exercise it. And ma'am, I tell you, you will move mountains. Well, thank you very much. And for those of you who want a copy of this particular presentation, again, it would be either a CD or a DVD you can request. It's an offer C202-621 and call 916-457-6511 or email us at csh@saccentral.org.